I want to read a passage tonight. It is again from the Gospel of John, and this is on the page 1288, John chapter 13, from verse 1. I have in my heart to read about 17 verses again. Last time when I've been here, I've read also 17 verses. I don't know. Maybe God has something in mind with this 17 number. But let's read the Gospel. John 13, starting with verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judah, son of Simon Iscariot, that he should deliver him up, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hand, and that he came out from God and was going to God, rises from supper and lays aside his garment, and having taken a linen towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the wash hand basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the linen towel which he was girded. He came therefore to Simon Peter, and he said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou dost not know now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, Unless I wash thee, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter says to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus says to him, He that is washed all over needs not to wash save his feet, but is wholly clean. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew him that delivered him up. On account of this, he said, Ye are not all clean. When therefore he had washed their feet and taken his garment, having sat down again, he said to them, Do ye know what I have done to you? Ye call me the teacher and the Lord, and ye say, Well, for I am so. If I therefore, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that, as I have done to you, you should do also. Verily, verily, I say to you, the bondman is not greater than his Lord, nor the servant greater than he who has sent him. If ye know these things, blessed are ye if ye do them. Amen. It's quite a big passage here, but I wanted to get the picture. I could preach straightforward, but I think it is better to read and have a little bit of the gospel to see how the things were at those times. Lord Jesus Christ was gathered. Today we had in our Bible reading about the Lord's Supper, and it is very interesting fact, because many other gospels speak of a little bit technical about how they prepared the Lord's Supper, where they went to prepare the Lord's Supper, and so on. But John goes a little bit much deep in this. And yes, there are many, many things here. We could stay here a week and study, only study these passage, 17 the verses, I believe there are so many things that to learn. But I want you to first of all to think about three things to see here. Just to take three things out from this whole passage. And if we go with three things, then we'll be very, very blessed tonight. So the first thing it is the identity of the bondman. This is the identity of the bondman. Lord Jesus Christ, as we know, he came from heaven to this earth. He is the Son of God. He is God itself. And when he decided to come here on this earth, he could choose to become, to be a king, yes? Or everyone will listen to a king. He will have his own kingdom. But he said, no, I don't want to be a king. He could be a prophet or maybe an angel. He didn't decide to come as an angel or as a prophet or any warrior or soldier. Or he wanted to come as a bondman. And for this, let me open Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says here something very interesting, and it shows the way that Lord Jesus Christ came. If you want to open also with me, you don't need to, but it is good if you open to read in the same time, so you will learn where it is written. It is on the page 1418, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says here, "For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of repine, to be on equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman form, taking his place in the likeness of man, and having been found in a figure as a man, humbled himself, become obedient even to death, and the death of the cross." Lord Jesus Christ, when he spoke with the Father, "Who shall we send?" God asked a question in heaven. "Who shall we send to save the people?" And in Isaiah, we can read that Lord Jesus Christ said, "Here I am, send me." In the book, it is written about me. "How shall I send you?" And as I said, he didn't want to come as a king. He didn't want to come as a warrior. He didn't want to come. We want to be someone. Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came as a bondman, as a slave. Yes, bondman, it is another word, as a slave. But you see, even the slaves, they have different levels. They were some very good writer. And those who had that slave, they used them in the office to write some things. They were someone who were very good delivering the word, like the centurion, when he sent one of his slaver, "Go and bring Lord Jesus Christ here, because my slave, it is ill." He was able to go to speak with Lord Jesus Christ and managed to bring Lord Jesus Christ. But on the way, he became his slave. He became well. So even in a slavery realms, there are different levels. Lord Jesus Christ wanted to take the lowest level of the bondman. And that's the way, that's the identity of Lord Jesus Christ, of the bondman. He wanted to come here and serve everyone. Those slaves who has no right at all. Yes? Lord Jesus Christ came as a bondman. As we read in Philippians, he emptied himself. He let the power that he could use as a God, he let it behind. And he took a bondman. He came in the flesh like me and like you. And here it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, he should that he should depart out from this world to the Father, going back to the Father. It says here, having loved his own, who were in the world, loved them till the end. Wow. That's a very, very precious thing. How much Lord Jesus Christ loved us. I said many times, you know, my children asked me many times, I have here two of them, and they said, Daddy, how much Lord Jesus Christ loved? And I said, so much. He stretched his hand to embrace everyone, but to be able to take someone in your arm, you need to stretch your hand. So Lord Jesus Christ stretched his hand on that Calvary cross. He loved them till the end. Now it is a question over there. How much do I love? How much love I have in me? Because Lord Jesus Christ, he says, did you see what I've done? You do the same. And Lord, last time when I preached here, it was from John chapter 15. And he says, love one another with the love that I loved you. How Lord Jesus Christ loved us until he stretched his hands on the cross. Do I love my brother till the end? Or sometimes I will say, oh, I loved him so much, I loved her so much, but enough is enough. I can't bear anymore. No, it's enough. I can't do anymore. I can't love anymore. Are we going to do it like this? Is that love? Is that real love? Love, it is not receiving. Love, it is not receiving. Love, it is giving. You are giving yourself for those. As Ricky said before today, some people will say, oh, you can come anytime to me, mate. No problem. And he was thinking like, what if I was going to knock at 3 o'clock in the morning to those who said, oh, you can come anytime. And knock on the door. Man, you said, I can come anytime to sup with you. What is it? Man, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. What's wrong with you? But you said that. That's love. That's love. Okay, come in. Let's have a tea together. Let's speak together. That's love. Sacrificial love. Lord Jesus Christ, because he knew he is going to the Father, because he came from the Father, and, oh, we don't have enough time to go into it, to prove his divine love, his divine nature, sorry. Because he came from the Father, and he went to go to the Father, and he knew everything. He loved those that he had in the world, and he loved till the end. That's the first lesson which I want to take today. Am I loving you till the end? Do you love your wife or your husband till the end? Do you love your child till the end? Do you love your family till the end? How much do I love my children? I love my parents. How much I love my brother and my sister. Do I love them till the end? And you know what means end. Till I will die. Lord Jesus Christ loved those who were in the world till he died on the Calvary cross. And he shed his blood for them. Well, we are here in a meeting. Do I love my brothers from the meeting till the end? Or I jump in the car and then I forget them till next Sunday? It happens. It happens. Sometimes if I see you on the street, oh, I remember, I forgot to pray for you. I'm glad some of the brothers, you know, sorry, send some messages. Now with this technology, we can remember a little bit much easier one of another. And you know, I just sent you a text. Please pray for me as I was preaching to the funeral. And thank you very much for prayers. That was great, fantastic. I felt the prayer power over me over there. It is so nice to be in touch. It's nice to love till the end. Your brothers, your sisters from the church. It might be easy to love your brother and sister because, yes, we want to be nice one to another. But Lord Jesus Christ said, love your enemy. How is that? Do you love your enemy till the end? You know, Lord Jesus Christ, we were enemy with God. We were His enemy. He took that nails and that cross and that crown of thorns because of me and because of you, just to pay the penalty that we should pay. We should stay hung on that cross. But we blame Him. We said, crucify Him. Crucify Him. And He went so humble, so nice in that love. And He died for His enemies. That's the love Lord Jesus Christ had for you and for me. You know, it is a word in a scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. It says, we love Him. Why? Because He loved us first. We love Him because He loved us first. I wouldn't love Lord Jesus Christ if He wouldn't love me first. He loved you first. Now it's your turn. Love Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the things which I can see here. Because He knew that He's going to the Father. He loved them. And He loved them till the end. Wow. That's so, for me, it is so deep. So deep. Till the end. Do I love my partner, my wife, till the end? Do I love my husband till the end? I don't want to repeat that. Oh, God, help us to love not only the loved one, but also our enemies, our neighbors, till the end. And then, it says, Lord Jesus Christ, then the world will recognize that you are my children. After then, when you express that love till the end, people will recognize, oh yeah, they are Christian. They are Christ-like, which we need to be like, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the second one, it is the humility Lord Jesus Christ had. Just imagine, Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, the Son of God, normally, those days, they wear sandals, you know, because it is hot in Israel at that time. And because they wear sandals, they were sweating. And the dust that you have over there, I remember I bought one pair of sandals from Israel, from, I think it was from Jericho. You know, they are very nice, but if you walk with the sandals in Israel, you will get very dusty on your feet. And one of the custom, it was like the one who will receive you, the owner of the house, will if you would be a very important person, a very high person, friend or whatever, he will estimate you so much. He will take the water, the bowl of water, and take your feet and wash the feet. But to do that, you need to bow down. You need to humble yourself. You can't do that from standing up. You need physically to bow down there and take the foot of those who came in your house. The dirty, smelly feet. And put in the water. And slowly wash the dust away. That's Lord Jesus Christ done with you and with me. He took my feet. He took your feet and washed nice. And after He washed, He did it. Oh, well, He took the linen cloth, which He had gardened with, and He wiped nicely. Beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel. It says in Romans chapter 10, am I humbling till there? Do I bow down? Normally, Peter, Matthew, and all the 12 disciples, they knew the custom. Maybe they were looking one to another. Who is going to take the linen cloth tonight? We need to see someone is taking the water
the bowl with the water and will kneel down and wash the... I forgot and I'm thinking somewhere else. Maybe I'm looking on the WhatsApp. Or maybe I'm reading some scripture to preach from there. I'm busy. I can't take the towel now. John, see what is going on. I don't know. Maybe Judah. No, I'm thinking how to deliver him up. You know? And Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he put his garment off. Okay? No one is taking now this evening. It's my turn. And he took the water and he bowed down to each and every one. 24 feet. Because they were 12 of them. Imagine that. When he came to Peter, no. Lord Jesus, please don't do that to me. No, you are not going to wash my feet. Peter, you don't understand me. If I'm not washing your feet, you are not going to be a part with me. You know? When he heard, he says, not only my feet, and hands, and head, please wash me whole. We just spoke a little bit about Peter, that he had a big heart. Even though he failed many times, he had that heart and love for Lord Jesus Christ. And he wouldn't miss with any chance to be with the Lord. You said, I'm not going to be with you. Please, take me all. Wash me all. He said, till here. Because you had a bath. You need only the feet. Allow me to read another scripture. I think I will find it quickly. It is in Titus. I think it is chapter 3. I don't know if it is verse 5. Oh, I was in this. 3, verse 5. I'll read from 4, yes? It is on the page 1445. He says, but when the kindness and love to man of our Savior God appear not on the principle of works which have been done in righteousness which we had done, but according to his own mercy. Oh, this is another preaching here. He saves us, and listen, through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He saved us. He saved you, my dear brother and sister. Yes? Through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit which he poured out on us. You are already washed through this renewal. You are washed in the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, and it is that nice hymn. I was washed in the blood of the Lord. What I want to say, you was washed once. You need only the feet to go from time to time to Lord Jesus Christ to say, Lord Jesus, today I got a little bit dusty. And he wants to do that. And we have that scripture in 1 John. It says here, 1 John chapter, I'm going to read because I better read. It says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse our feet of these dusty, worldish things. You might watch some TV and you get dusty. You might watch something on media and you get dusty. Even the newspaper which they are bringing to underground, it is filled with dirt. You want to take a newspaper to read something that they want to write a news to know how the things are going,
and you need to avoid some pages
and flip quickly. Otherwise, you get very dusty, very dirty. And that's why we need to come on and on and on to Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be clean. We need to be clean. We need to confess every single time. We are not perfect. We might fail as Peter failed from time to time. But don't forget, don't lose your heart. Every single time when your conscience or the Holy Spirit speak to your conscience, go and pray. Don't wait. Don't let the dust come there. Because it's much hard if you get too dusty. I'm going quickly because I don't want to preach again like so long like last time. I preached too long last time. The last one it is, yes, it is the humility. The second one it is humility. Lord Jesus Christ, He humbled Himself. He took, as we read, a bondman shape. He became as a slave for you and for me. And the third one is the cleaning. That we need to go every single time to Lord Jesus Christ. Don't hesitate. These three things, if we take today or this evening with us home and live on and on and on all our life, we will be, can I say, successful? In a spiritual way. You will love your enemies and you will love yours. You put name over there till the end. How it is that I will love Brother Bernard till the end. Yeah, I can love him because I know he loved me. How it is to love Daniel or Joseph or Phil till the end. But if Brother Phil will give me a call in the night, Brother Daniel, I'm in such a situation. Would you pray for me? Oh, come on, no, not this time, it's too late. I'm doing some job tomorrow. I need to be fully rest. Do I take the phone call? I said, yes, Phil. Sorry, mate, I disturbed you. No, go on. Don't worry, I love you. How will you feel in your heart if I will say, no problem, just tell me the problem? That's love till the end. If we are going to take this today, if we will humble to wash the feet of those who are dusty, dirty, if someone will come to confess some sin to you or need some help, am I willing to bow down to help him? That's the love that Lord Jesus Christ proved and showed to us. And the last one, don't forget that Lord Jesus Christ is ready, is willing, and it is able to clean us of all the dust that this world is going to bring. May God help us to come to Him and to be like Him. Because He said, as I've done, I don't want to open again the Bible because then I will carry on. Did you see what I've done? You do the same. That's my duty. It is like a command, yes? You do the same. Come and live like me. Christ-like. Are we Christ-like? May God help us to be like that. And for His name's sake, amen.
Amen.